Today's text is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 18 through 27. We'll look at what Jesus did when he came to Jerusalem during the last week of his public ministry. In today's text, Jesus teaches about the resurrection and the reality of heavenly salvation that Jesus will achieve. In verse 18, today's text begins with the Sadducees, who didn't believe in resurrection, coming to Jesus and asking him a question. Who were the Sadducees? Together with the Pharisees, they were well-versed in the Bible and were leaders who had great influence in Jewish society. However, the difference from the Pharisees was that the Sadducees recognized only the law of Moses, which is the five books of Moses, as the word of God in the Old Testament, and did not even believe in the resurrection of the dead. They believe that the soul disappears after death, along with the body, and does not receive any reward or punishment. They also believed that there were no angels or evil spirits and no resurrection. So their entire focus was not on the afterlife, but on this life, that is life on this earth, not in heaven or hell. If we go to Acts chapter 23, we see an incident where there was a quarrel between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and it says these words. And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, no angel, nor spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. Here we also see that the Sadducees did not believe in resurrection, angels, or spirits. To prove that their belief was correct, the Sadducees came to Jesus with a law and asked him a question. In particular, they brought the law regarding marriage to claim that the resurrection was a false teaching. They tested Jesus, who taught about the resurrection. Jesus taught that the Son of Man would suffer and die and rise again 3 days later, and the Sadducees opposed the path Jesus was taking. First of all, the law that the Sadducees brought to Jesus in today's text is from Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy chapter 25 verses 5 through 18. If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the dead man shall not be married outside the family to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her as his wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And the first son whom she bears shall succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. And if the man does not wish to take his brother's wife, then his brother's wife shall go up to the gate to the elders and say, "My husband's brother refuses to perpetuate his brother's name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of a husband's brother to me." Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak to him. And if he persists, saying, "I do not wish to take her," then his brother's wife shall go up to him in the presence of the elders, and pull his sandal off his foot, and spit in his face. And she shall answer and say, "So shall it be done to the man who does not build up his brother's house. And the name of his house shall be called in Israel, the house of him who had his sandal pulled off." God gives these guidelines of the laws so that in the families of Israel, where they are brothers, the name of the brother may not be cut off, and the covenant inheritance can continue to be redeemed. In the case of a family where the husband dies and there are no children, the deceased husband's brother takes the wife and gives birth to children so that the family line will not be cut off and the family will continue to live in Israel by receiving the inheritance. In the Old Testament, these laws were used to keep the Israelites from being cut off from the kingdom of God and the covenant. But now, because of the grace of salvation achieved through the blood of Jesus, we will never be cut off from the kingdom of God and the covenant, and we receive the eternal inheritance of heaven. This blessed reality of the new covenant was taught and testified in advance through the guidelines of the law in the old covenant. And it was with this guideline of the law that the Sadducees came to Jesus and asked him a question. Today's text says this in verses 19 through 23. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife, but leaves no child, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. There were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and when he died, left no offspring. And the second took her and died, leaving no offspring. And the third likewise. And the seventh left no offspring. Last of all, the woman also died. In the resurrection, when they rise again, whose wife will she be? For the seven had her as wife. Now the Sadducees are asking this question while making assumptions about the resurrection to prove that the teaching of the resurrection is wrong, even though they do not believe in the resurrection. This was a question intended to ridicule and test Jesus' teachings on resurrection. Ironically, these people are bringing the Bible, the Word of God, to test and oppose Jesus, who is the Word of God. However, not only these people, but also the church at the time was like this. They even tested and resisted God with the Word of God. Wasn't this the case every time the church became corrupt? Those who claimed to know and believe in the Word of God used that word to oppose God. And not only the Sadducees, but the Pharisees at the time did the same. What was their fundamental problem? Jesus tells us in verse 24 of today's text. Jesus said to them, "Is this not the reason you are wrong? Because you know neither the scripture nor the power of God?" These words of Jesus are so important. Jesus says they are wrong because they do not know the Bible and the power of God. He says that is their fundamental problem. However, the Sadducees to whom Jesus is speaking and the Pharisees were well-versed in the Bible and teachers and leaders of Israel. They bring the Bible and test Jesus, but Jesus says they don't know the Bible. What does this mean? It means that they know the Bible, but they believe the words of the Bible as they see, as they want to understand, and according to their own opinions and ideas. So they deny the teachings of the Bible. There are still people like this. We also make this mistake. First, outside of Christianity, those in worldly religions, those with liberal beliefs and heretics study the Bible on their own, interpret the Bible in their own way, and use the Bible to deny its teachings. Sometimes, famous philosophers or religious figures come out and teach the Word of God according to their wisdom and principles, as if they know everything about the Bible and Christianity. Even within Christianity, there are those who, ignoring sound doctrine and confession of faith, falsely interpret the Bible and use the Bible to deny its teachings. Some falsely explain the simple and clear gospel, claiming they have new teachings that even believers cannot understand, and even claim they are the only ones who know the truth. Let's go to chapter 3 of 2 Peter. It is said that even then, ignorant and unstable people misinterpreted the Apostle Paul's epistles with their ideas, leading to their destruction. We must remember this. That is why sound doctrines and confessions of faith are so important and essential for the sound interpretation of the Bible. Thus, we must not ignore the Reformed Confession of Faith that has been given from the Apostles' teachings and the believer's sacrifice to the point of shedding blood throughout church history. Now, our OPC Church holds the Westminster Confession of Faith and the Shorter Catechism as our Confession of Faith, which protects us from interpreting the Bible in our own way and leading to false teachings. Again, I am not saying that the Confession of Faith is superior to the Bible. However, it plays a very important role in protecting the true gospel from false teachings within the sound teachings of the Bible. Therefore, the church must teach and learn the Confession of Faith, and we must correctly discern and reject those who interpret the Bible in their own way and deny the true gospel that the Bible teaches. Otherwise, people like Sadducees and Pharisees will arise. These are people who claim to be versed in the Bible. So then, how do the Sadducees misunderstand the Bible? In particular, what were their misconceptions about the resurrection? Above all, they mistakenly believe that the life of the resurrected saints, that is, the life of heaven, is simply a continuation of life in this world. In other words, the reality of heaven is viewed as the same as the reality of this world. Relationships in heaven are seen as continuations of relationships on earth. They did not even believe in resurrection or heaven, but they were judging the teaching of resurrection and heaven. So they were saying to Jesus that the heaven that you teach is wrong and the resurrection makes no sense. As I said, why are the Sadducees making this claim? Even if they were so versed in the Bible, they ultimately believe that this world is everything. That is why they read, interpret, and preach the Bible from the worldly perspective. So they do not believe in heaven, eternal life, resurrection, angels, or spirits. They believed it had nothing to do with our life on this earth. And yet, they were the teachers and the leaders of the Jews. Along with the Pharisees, they were the shepherds of the church at that time. However, they were spiritually blind, deaf, and unable to understand God's word. We think that only the Pharisees' legalism was the problem, but the Sadducees' world-centered beliefs were also the problem. So the church's teachings at the time were man-centered and world-centered. Not only that time, but it was always like this when the church was corrupt. We can only conclude that Christianity is no different from all world religions if it is man-centered. Isn't that still the case now? Even though ages is different, they are the same now, and they will be even more so on the day Jesus comes again. While they do not believe in heaven or have any interest in it, they can only understand it as an extension of life in this world. When Jesus tells them about heaven as the Bible teaches, they cannot understand it. Without faith, you can't understand the Bible as Christ-centered and heaven-centered. In today's text, they assume that the marriage relationship on earth will continue in heaven. This is because they don't know anything about heaven, have no interest in it, and do not view the New and Old Testament as centered on the heavenly kingdom of God. They can only understand what they see and experience according to their flesh and this world. The same goes for the Pharisees. The Bible cannot be understood for them in any other way than simply following one's flesh and boasting about one's works to obtain blessings. This happens unless the Holy Spirit renews our minds and give us faith. Dear believers, the most important thing is how we understand, believe, and teach the Bible. The biggest problem is that people follow their sinful nature, believe what they want to believe, read the Bible according to their opinion rather than faith, and preach Christianity entirely centered on our works and this world. So Christianity is no different from the teachings of worldly religions. And even non-believers might say that they know and believe the Bible. This is a picture of a corrupt church. Jesus did not come to give the blessings of this world, to make this world a better world, to provide worldly rewards to those who do better works, and to establish a worldly kingdom of God. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Apostle Paul said that if we believe in Jesus to enjoy this world more, we are more pitiful than all people, and there is no need for Jesus to die and to be resurrected. Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected to save us from all sins and allow us to enjoy heavenly blessings and eternal life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 14, verses 19 and 20 says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. We must clearly remember this. And if your goal is to get better in this world, the Bible proclaims that this world never gets better. This world will eventually be full of sin and go to the final judgment. The same goes for the lives of those in the world. Our salvation is being delivered from this evil world to heaven. Rather than enjoying worldly blessings that will disappear after a moment, we are enjoying heavenly blessings that will be forever. For this reason, Jesus died and was resurrected. So we need the grace of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must renew our hearts and give us faith. He must humble and soften our hearts so that we can realize that we are hopeless sinners and know the grace of heavenly salvation that Jesus achieved through his death and resurrection. Therefore, God must help us keep the simple and clear gospel. You should always go back to it. We should live in gratitude to God who continues to tell us about Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom of heaven through all the scriptures. We should live with gratitude for the words that repeatedly tells us about God's great love, Jesus' amazing grace, and heaven's awesome blessings. And with that faith, we live joyfully worshiping God on this earth until the day the Lord calls us. It is important to remember that having faith in heaven and believing in the resurrection does not make life on earth unimportant. By testifying to our relationship with Jesus and God, we can live in proper relationship with husband and wife, parents and children, brothers and sisters, and share the fellowship of faith. With faith in heaven, we can fight against sin and live according to God's pleasing will. We can persevere despite hardships and strive to build a church that testifies to the kingdom of God on earth. We live to observe the Lord's Day and worship God with faith in heaven by living as witnesses of Jesus, the true Son. We can live the life of God's Son worthy of our calling. With faith in heaven, we can live with hope, awake and waiting for the Lord to come again. It's important to remember that having faith in heaven has a significant impact on our lives here on earth. Resurrection represents the completion of the heavenly salvation we receive. Once our spirit and body have achieved perfect glorification, we'll be able to see Jesus in person. He still wears the glorified body of the resurrection, and we'll be able to touch the marks on his hands and feet where he was wounded for us. We'll live a sinless life, loving Jesus perfectly and enjoying and glorifying God completely. We'll all experience this blessing when Jesus returns on the day of resurrection. In today's text, Jesus told the Sadducees who didn't believe in the resurrection that they not only didn't understand the Bible, but they also didn't understand the power of God. Because resurrection isn't just the biblical teaching, it is the power of God at work. Romans chapter 4 verse 17 says, "As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist." God is the Almighty Creator who has the power to bring things into existence from nothingness through his word. The resurrection of Jesus is a testament to the incredible power of God, which can even bring the dead back to life. Through this miracle, we can see that Jesus lived a perfectly righteous life, and his death was not for his own sins, but for ours. He took on the burden of our sins and died to pay the price for them. The resurrection also signifies that Jesus received a life worthy of heaven, which is his eternal inheritance. To fully understand the gospel, we must believe in the resurrection of Jesus and accept the forgiveness of sins it offers. Apostle Paul emphasizes the importance of faith in God, who raised Jesus from the dead, which justifies us and grants us eternal life. Romans chapter 4 verses 23 through chapter 5 verse 1. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Believing in the resurrection means accepting the gospel and knowing the power of God as revealed in the Bible. To believe in the resurrection is to believe that we have died and lived again with Jesus. This belief also means that we were once subject to God's wrath, but have now become his beloved children. Believing in the resurrection affirms that we have been forgiven for our sins and justified by the righteousness of Jesus. Ultimately, this faith means that we have been saved from the judgment of hell and will enjoy the glory of heaven. Therefore, we are encouraged to let our faith in the resurrection rule our lives. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 through 5. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. As believers, we have participated in the death and resurrection of Jesus, which means that we have died spiritually from our old self and have been reborn as a new self in heaven. Therefore, we are instructed to focus on heavenly things rather than earthly things. We have already been transferred from this earth to heaven, and the life we now have in heaven through faith will be revealed in glory when Jesus comes again. Paul urges us to kill our sinful nature and live with a heavenly character that reflects Jesus. This is the message of the book of Colossians. We must worship God with a faith that is grounded in the reality of resurrection and heaven. This means that we can no longer view any aspect of our lives through worldly lenses. We should seek blessings, success, and grace within the gospel of heaven and view them as achievements through Jesus' death and resurrection. In doing so, we can be blessed, successful, and experience grace in any worldly situation. The Bible teaches us that those who die in the Lord are blessed because they are in Jesus, who died and was resurrected for us. God has made our death a blessing and grace to enter heaven. Therefore, we must not trade the reality of gospel of heaven for the temporary pleasures of this world. To do this, we must know the Bible and the power of God, and understand that knowing the resurrection is the key to both. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." God, who raised Jesus from the dead, will also raise us from the dead. This Almighty God is our loving Father, who is working with his power to bring us to the glory of heaven and raise us to life on the last day. Therefore, it is important to have faith in the Bible and the power of God and live by it every day. In heaven, we will experience a new reality where old things will pass away and we will only enjoy and live in a completely new reality. In verses 25 and 26, Jesus reveals the reality of heaven, assuring us that we will enjoy a completely new reality. Verse 25 says, "For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." These words mean that all relationships on earth will be fulfilled perfectly in Jesus. This includes the relationship between husband and wife, parents and children, and servants and masters. All these relationships will pass away, and we will become God's beloved sons in Jesus, living together as brothers in him. It does not imply that we will not recognize our family members, but it means that we will live in Jesus with a more profound relationship than any other relationship on earth. Until that day, God allows us to testify with faith of that blessed reality in our relationships on earth. Husband and wife should bear witness to the relationship between Jesus, the true husband, and the church, the bride of Jesus. The husband is supposed to love his wife as Jesus loves the church, and the wife is to obey her husband as the church obeys Jesus. Similarly, parents and children should reflect the relationship between God the Father and us as His children. Parents should raise their children with the word of the Lord, and the children should respect and obey their parents in the Lord. God permits us to reflect and testify about heaven's reality in our earthly relationships and live in this way by faith. However, when we enter heaven, our earthly relationships will end. We will become brothers, serving Jesus and God the Father together. Verse 25 states that when we live in heaven after the resurrection, we will neither marry nor be given in marriage again. As the bride of Jesus, we will live together, loving and serving Jesus, our groom. We will all become sons of God and live in complete unity through brotherly love in all our relationships. First Peter chapter 1 verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Ultimately, Jesus calls us to live in brotherly love as a heavenly family, even while we are on earth. It's a new relationship that Jesus has established, and He is telling us to live the same life in heaven that we will experience after we are resurrected. Finally, in verses 26 and 27, He emphasizes the importance of brotherly love by saying, "And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God spoke to him saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'? He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are quite wrong." Jesus refers to the words in Exodus chapter 3, where God spoke to Moses through a burning bush, identifying himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Although these three patriarchs had passed away before Moses' time, God referred to himself as their God, indicating that they were still alive in his presence. This is reinforced in Revelations, which speaks of the first resurrection where saints enter heaven with their spirits to serve God and await the second resurrection when their bodies will also be resurrected. Those who believe in Jesus will live forever in heaven. Even if they die on earth, their spirits will be immediately glorified and enter heaven. And on the day of Jesus' second coming, their bodies will also be resurrected, and they will live with Him for eternity. John chapter 11, verses 25-26, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" The reality of heaven was made possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. After Jesus died and shed his blood on the cross, his spirit reached the glory of heaven. 3 days later, his body was resurrected and also reached the glory of heaven. Just like Jesus, our spirit will live on and enter heaven immediately after our death. At the second coming of Jesus, our physical body will also be resurrected and enter heaven with a glorious body. This means that whether we live or die, as believers in Christ, we have eternal life, and God is our Father forever. Dear saints, this is the Bible and the power of God, the gospel. Jesus referred to the resurrection as the Bible and the power of God in today's text. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus as it is the foundation of our faith. May our faith in heaven be evident in our relationships, fellowship, and daily lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord.